Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all minds, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you, that you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of, that you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to
Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. I'm your host tonight. I want to welcome everybody who's listening in tonight. This is Revolutionary Life. If you're new here, we're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday. We're here from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. every weekday night. Central Standard Time, by the way, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you're new here, this is Friday. And unless something is really hot that's going on, Friday is our wrap-up day. Well, we talk about, well, we wrap up the subjects of the week, the things we've gone over this week. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that wrap-up night. It is Friday. 5/14, May the 14th, 2021. How about that? And we're wrapping up the week. And check this out. This week, guys, in case you missed it, here's another thing for you new guys. In case you missed it, all of our presentations are archived. That is to say, you can go back. If you're looking at our site, for instance, you can go down the list there and you will see an on-demand section. And you will see all of those previous presentations there. And all you got to do is go by topic, hit one of those presentations, and you can listen to those previous presentations. They're all there. Now, as for this week, guys, we went over artificial intelligence versus human or organic intelligence. We went over the Spanish, their people, their language, just so you know. And we went over Jerusalem, the violence in Jerusalem, its historic roots, and its current manifestation of that. And then finally, we asked the question, why bother vote? We're talking about elections on that day, and we asked people who do vote, why you vote? And we asked those who don't, why don't you? So we had a good week, interesting week. And like I said, guys, and again, if you're new here, these are all subjects that are already out there. They already been speaking on by your news outlets and others. The only difference is that Revolutionary Life, we deal with these subjects from a revolutionary point of view. You don't know what that means. Revolution is just change, man. But if you go back and listen to our presentations on each one of those subjects, whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it's the origin of the Spanish language, the Mexican, the Spaniard, the Portuguese, the Latin-based languages, the Latino, the Hispanic, you might as well get ready. And in that presentation, I told you that what's becoming the fifth largest Spanish-speaking country on earth, the United States of America. And so I had to do that for you. Jerusalem. We talked about the violence in Jerusalem. You see what's going on right now. It's historic. It's a wound that's never healed. The problem has never been addressed. And so these clashes ain't over. It ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over. And so why bother vote was the last subject. And we looked at voting from a revolutionary point of view. We talked about everything from the Electoral College, i.e., no matter who you vote for, no matter who gets the popular vote, there's something called Electoral College that will decide who your president is going to be. That's just the way it rolls. And so, tonight, guys, get your seat, kick back. This is a call-in show. Also, if you're new here, this is a call-in show. All right? So at a certain point within this show, we're going to announce our call-in section. We're going to put out that call. That call-in number should be available already on our site. But I will announce that call-in number. And if you call me, you go straight on to the air. also, I have my chat room open. Don't want to call, but you got a question, you got a comment, you can put it in our chat. I will announce that call-in section. And you can participate. I call it your time to shine. I have a whole section just for call-ins. So hang in there. Thank you for listening in tonight. This is Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. I'm going to give you a little music. Get yourself together. Maybe pull up a seat. Maybe grab something to sip on. Whatever you do to relax, and let's get revolutionary up in here. I'll see you in a minute. Revolutionary Life. Welcome again. I'd like to welcome everybody who's listening in tonight. This is Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. This program is here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Gary. I'm your host. And tonight, we're going to be wrapping up the week tonight. You know, we're here every weekday night, guys, so we got a different subject every night of the week. Like I said, the only difference is we deal with these subjects from a revolutionary point of view, so let's get there. Tonight, we do our wrap-up for the week. I told you that this week, we talked about artificial intelligence and robotics and automation. And I told you that, and you can go back and listen to these presentations, right? I told you guys that they don't, that artificial intelligence doesn't exist yet. They can't figure it out quite. You still have more intelligence, whether you know it or not, than your computer or Alexis or anything else you consider to be AI. It's just algorithms. It's just programs. It's just coding. Somebody with a brain, with intelligence, programmed AI. The problem is AI ain't got a business, ain't got around to programming itself yet. They're still trying to figure that one out. Now check this out. In that presentation, guys, I talked about in high school, going into college, we were shown a video on automation and robotics. We were all sitting down in the auditorium watching a video of the new pursuit for students going into college. And we were excited because they showed us a video, a cartoon, really, just a cartoon. But the video showed us workers in a factory, assembly line workers. Owner of the factory, the assembly line workers were depicted by some guys with worker clothes on or overalls on. And the owner was right there with them, and they were all dancing around and shaking hands and smiling and jumping up and down. And the owner was depicted as a guy with a big top hat and a cigar in his mouth, right? But the workers and the owners had their arms around each other, and they were all dancing around happy. Why? Because when you looked at the assembly line, there were robots assembling the products that workers were assembling before. And so the coming of automation, we were told in this video, we were told and sold on the idea that the coming of the robot, the coming of automation, were going to take us into the 21st century, man, that it was going to give the worker more leisure time. Y'all don't hear me. They told us, man, when we get robots doing all the work, working people will have more leisure time. I'm quoting these folks. We'll have robots doing the work instead of people, and people, average worker, will have more leisure time. And, of course, the businesses will have a worker who don't get sick, who don't take sick leaves, who don't get pregnant, who doesn't get injured, have to pay for, you know, a doctor, medical care, Social Security, payroll taxes, all that out the window when you got a robot doing what a worker salary, what a worker used to do. And so the business was happy. The big businessman was jumping up and down in the video, happy. And he was holding hands with the workers who were happy because they're finna get more leisure time. That's when I was going into college. I majored in AI, information technology. And it was exciting. The new world was about to be created. But the machines were going to do the heavy lifting. And we're all going to have more time to kick back and do what we love to do. That was a lie. That was a lie. What happened was the businessman got his out of the deal. He damn sure got a worker that doesn't take leaves, doesn't take days off and vacations. He got a machine. But the worker got fired, period. End of story. The worker didn't get, he got more leisure time, but he took that leisure time to go try to find another job. That's what's happening with the robots. They replaced us workers. Even in AI, even in IT, they got robots doing what skilled workers used to do. And in every aspect they can, they replaced, especially skilled workers. They can make them, they get paid more. They can demand more money. Got put out of work because of robots. Now, I didn't have a problem because I would have thought that, okay, so yeah, it's going to take some jobs from people, but people are going to have more leisure time. They sold me coming out of high school, going into college, into IT, because computers are going to start running stuff. And we have time to do what we love to do, what we were born to do, the things that we're interested in life. Bull. Never happened. Well, I figured, okay, now that machines are doing the work and not a $14 an hour auto worker, maybe the price of autos would come down. Now that the company's saving all this money, having machines do the work, maybe the price of the automobile now will come down, or whatever is on that assembly line will be cheaper now since it's costing them less to produce it. That was a lie. They easily passed on They would easily pass on more costs to produce to the consumer. But when they had less cost to produce, do you think they passed on the savings to the consumer by lowering the prices? Hell no. We got billionaires all of a sudden and damn near trillionaires. And you got unemployed. You have to go find somewhere else to work. AI. I told you in that presentation, we ended with that presentation, saying that human potential, the brain, is what's creating AI, humans. Why don't we put more money, time, an interest in expanding human intelligence? And you don't know how much, and you don't know what you're capable of. They do. You don't know what you're capable of mentally. In the medical arena, they got something called placebo. And we went through that. I got a whole nother presentation on that, guys. Try to get that presentation, because I get into a little bit into the weeds on clinical trials. And the placebo group, it's just the group in a trial, in a clinical, in a drug trial, a new drug's coming out on the market. You got to do a clinical trial. One of the groups in the clinical trial is a placebo group. That is to say that everybody in the group gets a drug. Well, not everybody. One group gets a drug. Another group is a control group. They don't get anything. And the third group is called placebo group. They think they're getting the drug, but they get a sugar pill, nothing but sugar. Nobody tells them that they're getting a sugar pill. They tell them they're giving them the drug. Nobody knows that they're getting a sugar pill. They're in a clinical trial for a brand new drug that's supposed to remove all these tumors that they're having, let's say. The FDA refused to put the drug on the market. Why did the Federal Drug Administration refuse to put this particular drug that removes tumors? In fact, 7 out of 10 people who took this drug, their tumors start to go down. Their tumors start to disappear over time. 7 out of 10. The drug worked on 7 out of 10 people. Why wouldn't the Federal Drug Administration let that drug come out onto the market? I'll tell you why. Because the sugar pill group, the placebo group, had 7 out of 10 whose tumors went away off a sugar pill. The FDA said, well, we can't tell if your drug really works, because the people who took nothing but sugar, they thought they took the pill, they believed they took the drug, got well, and those who took the drug got well, but the same number. 7 out of 10 got well who took the drug, 7 out of 10 who took sugar unknowingly got well. So the FDA said, you got to outdo the placebo group before we put that drug on the market. But they ignored the fact that some 7 out of 10 people tumors went away from a sugar pill. Why aren't we doing more investigation into what went down there? 7 out of 10 healed themselves. Y'all don't hear me. 7 out of 10 healed themselves because of their belief system, because of their belief. Because of nothing but belief that they took a drug. And check this out, guys. They say that if you use a hypodermic needle instead of a pill, the placebo, the people who take the sugar pill or the sugar, are more convinced that they're taking a real drug if you shoot them with a needle. It doesn't work so well when you just give them a white pill. It works a little bit better if you give them a capsule. Red on one side, white on the other side, something like that. But it really works when you stick a needle in their arm. They're pretty sure now they're getting a medication. It's just sugar. But you can fool them with the needle more than you can anything else. And I asked everybody, had they had the COVID shot yet? But having said that, they should be doing more research into your capabilities. You don't know what you're capable of. I'm telling you, you have no idea. I got videos, man, showing young kids who are playing, 10-year-old playing Mozart on the piano. Nobody's ever taught them. One little girl is doing artwork that's going for thousands of dollars. Beautiful stuff. 3D artwork. Beautiful colors, depth. Everything, and nobody ever taught her anything. Nobody in the family paints. Your child is going to get taught STEM. If he loved to paint, they're going to tell him to put the paintbrush down. You got to learn mathematics, engineering, technology, and science. Forget about that painting. This woman's family is millionaires now because of her paintings, this 10-year-old. And they asked her, why don't you have her go to school and do what all the other kids are doing? She's not having a normal life. And the parents of this girl who do this beautiful painting, their parents said, what do you mean a normal life? You mean instead of doing these beautiful paintings that are going for thousands of dollars, she should be staring into a cell phone, texting, on TikTok, shaking her ass? Is that normal? Is that what you mean by she should be doing what a normal teenager would be doing, a kid would be doing? She loves her drawing. She's been doing it since she was 10. She's a teenager now, and she's successful, wonderfully successful and happy. You don't know what you're capable of. Maybe they do. instead of putting money into machines, they should be putting money into expanding your superhuman abilities. And you got them, obviously. They pop up every now and then, and we call them anomalies. We call a person a savant or a genius. They got a brain just like you. But the research is going into making a machine smarter than you, supposedly. Anyway, guys, so we ended AI, and we ended it with one sentence. I ended it with one sentence. On the AI presentation we did, at the end, I just had one understanding. They are not trying to make robots that think like people. Get it out of your head. They haven't figured it out yet. What they really want are people who think like robots, who can be controlled like a robot. Look at Tesla's new brain implant. Look at the new chip implant. The cybernetics. Oh, yeah. They don't want robots who think like people. They can't figure that one out. They can't beat the brain. No, what they really want are people that they can control like robots. That was our AI class, guys, and presentation, guys. And so, if you want to see the rest of that, you want to get into the weeds on that, you just go down to our on-demand section, pop that up, bring that up. It's called Artificial Intelligence, AI versus Organic Intelligence, Human Intelligence. The next thing we did is the Spanish language. And I told you that what is becoming the fifth largest Spanish-speaking country on earth, I didn't let you guess. I went on and told you. The United States of America. So what is this Latino thing? What is this Latin language? We got into that in our next presentation. I'm going to give you the musical, and I'll be right back. Get ready to hot blow from Espanol. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. I'm your host tonight. And tonight is our Friday wrap-up. I told you, we're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this week, we went down through there on several subjects from a revolutionary point of view, of course. We're looking for, revolution is just change, baby. It's just change. And change is inevitable. If there's one thing constant in this world, it's change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard. You know, if you're up front, you might have something to say about how what that change is going to look like. If you come in on the ass end of change, you ain't going to have much to say about anything. Let's get to it. One of the other subjects we spoke about this week, was the Spanish language, the Latino language, Latin language, Latin-based languages, Spanish being only one of them. And I told you in that presentation that people in Spain, people who lived on the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal, they never spoke Spanish. They never spoke a Latin-based language. They got their Latin-based language in the same process that all great civilizations are built in the Western European world. They got their Spanish, their Latin, through war, conquest, and enslavement. The Latin language came to the Iberian Peninsula on the tips of Roman swords. You know about Rome. It was a slave society. You know how we hold up Rome and Caesar as a great civilization? Well, they were great because they walked into other people's country and took that country and its resources, including its people, to make Rome great. And when you get conquered, baby, when you get conquered by another country as strong as Rome, you learn to speak their language, you accept their culture. That includes language, economics, religion, the whole works. So to this day, the people of the Iberian Peninsula speak a Latin-based language because of that conquest. The people on the Iberian Peninsula, that includes Portugal as well as Spain, speak a Latin-based language. And their religion, mostly Christians and Catholics and the like. It wasn't their religion before Rome arrived, but it damn sure was after. Because when you get conquered, if you want to move up in a world controlled by your conqueror, you can only do so by learning that to speak as their language, your conqueror's tongue, to adopt your conqueror's customs, their religion, their dress, etc. That way you can get a job. That way you can be a merchant, a businessman, or whatever under that conqueror. And if you don't speak their language, if you don't accept the Roman Latin when they come to your town, they're going to consider you, one, either ignorant, too ignorant to learn the language, or they're going to consider you rebellious. And that could be dangerous. And I told you, Spanish became Romanized. They became so Romanized to the point where they performed the same act of building great civilizations in Spain, making Spain a great civilization by doing the exact same thing Rome did to them, war, making war on them, conquering them, and enslaving them. They went on to cross the Pacific, the Atlantic Ocean, and come to the Caribbean, Central and South America, and Mexico, and conquered people who had a religion, They had a language. They didn't need anything Spain had to bring. But the Spaniards became conquerors. Spaniards became conquistadors. I taught a little Spanish there, guys. Conquistadors. Now, the people of Mexico, Central and South America never spoke Spanish. Don't tell me a Mexican, when you see a Mexican, a Honduran, a Nicaraguan, people from Central and South America, when they come up through here, they speak a Latin-based language, but they don't speak a Latin-based language because they chose to. They speak a Latin-based language because they were conquered. And if you want to come up in a world that's conquered, you learn to speak your conqueror's tongue and accept his religion and customs. When the Spanish got there, Columbus said when he got to the Caribbean, these Indians were taking baths every day. They outlawed that. They thought that would cause disease. Because in Europe, that was unheard of. I told you a story of the Carib Indians. When the Spanish arrived, I told you about a king who, a head of a Caribbean people, I don't know what you would call the king, but the head of the Caribbean tribe that refused to speak Spanish. He refused to accept their religion and customs, and they burned him at the stake. But before they burned him, they had a Jesuit priest walk up to him and say, "My son, you are about to be burnt. Will you accept Jesus Christ now so that your soul will go to heaven?" And the king of the Caribbean people, being ready to be burned at the stake, pointed down at a Spanish soldier, a Spanish conquistador, the one with the torch in his hand, getting ready to light him up. And he asked the Jesuit priest, he asked that priest, "Does that man, that soldier, does that man go to heaven?" And that priest said, "Of course, that man's a Christian." The king said, "Burn me. Because wherever that man goes, I don't want to go." It's called conquest. The Latino language came to this shore the same way the Roman Latin language came to Spain, at the tips of Spanish swords and guns. And the Latin language replaced the Maya, the Aztec, the Inca. And they had to adopt this Latin-based language. And they did a good job of it, because if you don't, how do you come up in a conquered world if you don't speak their language? They either think you're ignorant if you don't, or they think you're rebellious, and that can be dangerous. Then I got to the United States and I asked you to look at this. I got a bunch of pictures on my site that goes by, these slides that go by as we have these presentations. And on these slides are the Latin-based languages, their alphabet, their ABCs. And I asked you to look at those ABCs of Italian, Portuguese, Francais, in Spanish, and tell me if that don't look just like English to you. That's right. We ended that presentation by saying, ain't we all Latinos? Didn't we accept a conqueror's tongue? Did we accept a conqueror's customs and religion? I talked about the African-American in this country who could not survive if he had not accepted as the conqueror's tongue. And if you can speak the language of America as good as the English of America, as good as the American English people could, then doors would open for you. If you became a good Christian like the American people wanted, doors would open for you. If you didn't, you were considered rebellious or ignorant. And that could be dangerous. And so, we ended our little Spanish presentation by saying, aren't we all a little bit Latino? Look at my alphabet. Look at the English alphabet. Look at the Italian alphabet. Look at the Spanish alphabet. When these people come across this border, they're not foreigners. They're Catholics. They're Protestants. They're Christians. And they speak a Latin-based language just like you do. I teach Spanish. Little commercial here. I teach Spanish every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. I teach the Spanish language to English-speaking people, and I start them off telling them the story. My beginners learn this history of this language. You see, because it's not quite Latin, is it? Now, the church, the Roman Catholic Church, called it vulgar Latin. But it's Latin-based, just like yours. Just like yours. And Spanish, and teaching Spanish, there's something called cognates, C-O-G-N-A-T-E-S. A cognate is two words you put together, one from another language, the other one from your language, and they look damn near just alike. You can recognize them. You can recognize them. So they're called cognates. Try it and see how much you're different from the Latino world, the Roman world, the Roman Catholic world, the Roman Holy Roman Empire's world. You speak their tongue. Yes, you do. Aren't we all then a little bit Latino? That was our Spanish presentation, guys. We did this week. Now, I told you. If you want to hear the whole presentation, just roll down the screen. If you're looking at my site, go down the screen and you'll see the on-demand section, and you'll see the section that says the Spanish, the Latino, the Hispanic, et cetera, et cetera. That's the title. And pick up a little bit more of that. And also on that site in the chat room, I had at the top of my chat a link to my Spanish classes because I do them on Skype now because of COVID, the pandemic. And so that means anybody can participate. And so I hold those classes on Saturdays and Sundays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my link to those classes is at the top of that chat. And anyone who's interested can get in there. No problem. That was Spanish, baby. We went on from there to talk about the war, the clashes, they call them, in Jerusalem. And I wanted you to know something about that fight. I wanted you to pick up something about that fight other than what you just saw on the news. I want you to understand that struggle just a little bit more, just so you have sense, just so you have a picture of what's going on. And you can make a choice based on that picture if you want. You may have already formed an opinion. I don't know. But I'd like for you to listen to that presentation on Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you what it was about when I get back. Hang on a minute. I'm going to give you a little music. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. Thank you for listening in tonight. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight on Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight, we do our wrap-up. It's Friday night. It's Friday night, May 14th. And we're doing our wrap-up tonight of what we did down through the week, guys. If you missed anything down through the week, this is where you hear what those topics were. And we also have an on-demand section, so if you want to hear the full presentations on each one of these topics, please go, including our call-in section. There are folks who called in who have opinions on these subjects, and we discuss these subjects online. And so you'll be able to hear those discussions as well. And you'll be able to comment. I'll still get your comment, and I'll still be able to respond. So about this time, we start getting into our call-in section. But tonight, we got a couple more topics. The last two topics for the day is Jerusalem. Let's start with that. Going on in Israel between the Palestinians and the Israelis right now is historic. It is simply a wound that has never been healed. It's a conversation that has been had. It's a resolution that hasn't been developed yet or come to yet or decided on yet. There's a lot of people who think one way or another on the solution. But let me tell you something. I want you to understand something. That our president, our ex-president, Donald Trump, don't say Trump, under that administration, the U.S. Embassy was moved to Jerusalem. Now, if you don't know this, guys, but if you don't know this, Jerusalem was considered an open city. Jerusalem was considered an open city. Several religions, Judeo-Christian, and I explained that term as including things like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They're all under the heading of Judeo-Christian religions. They all call people of the book. They all have the same patriarch, Abraham. They all have holy places in Jerusalem. They all have more in common than they have differences in their religion. So in this presentation, I made a point of pointing out that this is not about religion. I did that because some people might take sides in this struggle based on whether they're Muslim or whether they're Jewish or whether they're Christian. Put your religion back in your pocket. This is not what this is about. Never have been. And I had to do some work on that, guys. So I want you to listen to that presentation. I went all the way back to the Holy Wars, to Henry Richard the Lionheart and Saladin, who led the Arabs in battle. I told you that this just was another period of war, conquest, enslavement. It's how the Arabs built great civilizations. It's how the Europeans built great civilizations. It's how the Asians, the Mongols, built great civilizations. They made war and they enslaved. Everybody wanted a piece of Jerusalem in those days. It was a rich city. There was money to be made. Pilgrims from all over, from three different religions, would come through this place. The Knights Templar was born in the struggle for Jerusalem. Yeah. Small villagers who didn't know what was going on. Some of them joined this battle because of religious reasons. Bad mistake on their part. Some of them died in these, many of them, thousands of them died. Because they was told there was a holy war, a holy crusade to take Jerusalem from the Arabs. And I'm sure the Arabs sold their people, their Muslim population, that this was a holy war, a jihad. A jihad. And some thousands of Muslims died. I'm telling you, it was none of the, it was not that. I'm telling you, it was about land. It was about conquest. It was about taking possessions. That's what everybody was doing. And Jerusalem was a rich city. Everybody wanted peace of Jerusalem. Tell the truth, the only person got out of Jerusalem rich was the Knights Templar, the soldiers. Everybody who didn't join that war because they were thinking that they were in some kind of holy war, some kind of religious war, which was a joke, which was used, which was a tool to get them to go to war. You know, you can reach in your bag and pull out all kinds of tools. You can pull out nation, our nation against their nation, patriotism. You can reach in there and pull out race, our race against their race. They reached in their bag and pulled out religion. And they got small farmers and villagers to join up and go die for the Arab cause and for the jihad and for the holy wars and the holy crusade for Rome, for the Holy Roman Empire. It had nothing to do with religion. It had everything to do with taking property. And I told you in that presentation that the day before I did that presentation, Israeli official came on the news and said as much. And I'm going to quote this guy. "This is a real estate dispute," is what he said. "This is a real estate land, guys. This is what this is about. Property. Taking property. Expanding and taking more property. The West Bank. The Gaza Strip. All this there for the taking. Whoever got the strongest army." That's the way it always been. It ain't never changed. What we're watching right now is a continuation of building great civilizations the way the Western Europeans, the Asians, and the Arabs have always done it. War. Conquest. And enslavement. And you watching it take place today. I said this, and I put that out there, guys, just because I know that if you pull race out, you might get some people to come fight for their race. If you pull patriotism out, you might get people to go fight for their nation. You need people to go fight. But if you pull religion out, you might get people to go fight for their religion. But it ain't got nothing to do with religion. I told you. Muslims, make a distinction. And if you don't, learn to. Muslims have more in common with Jews and Christians. In fact, they all fall under the heading of Judeo-Christian religion. They have the same patriarch. They call themselves the people of the book. And if you still don't understand how much they have in common, look at what's going on. Look at Israel and look at Jerusalem, and you'll see that they all have the same location where they have holy places. That's how much in common they are. All three got the same holy place. And so they got more in common than the Judeo-Christian religions, Christianity, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, than they got differences. This ain't about religion. I hope you understand that. It's about taking property. Just like that Israeli official said, this is a real estate dispute. That's exactly what it is. Always has been. The next presentation we did, the last one we did at the end of the week, before the week was out, we did one on voting. And we asked people, do you vote? If so, why? Do you not vote? If so, why not? And we got some interesting responses, guys. If you get a chance, listen to that. But let me tell you what we found when I get back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host. And tonight we're doing a Friday night wrap-up. Every Friday night we do a wrap-up of the week. And we've gone over some of the programs, some of the episodes we did this week. Everything from AI and artificial intelligence versus human intelligence, Spanish, the Spanish language, the Latino tongue, the Hispanic language and Latino origins, and Jerusalem. And we just got through doing Jerusalem. We talked about this being a real estate battle, as the Israeli official said. This is about real estate. This is about land grabbing. That's all. Got nothing to do with religion. I told you that all the Judeo-Christian religions have more in common. But I told you that a lot of folks went to war for the holy wars against Jerusalem hundreds of years ago. Six holy crusades. Thousands of lives lost fighting over Jerusalem. Only a fool or a charlatan, somebody who want to fool you. Only someone who's ignorant, I want you to be ignorant, would have moved the U.S. embassy into Jerusalem. For years, that embassy was held over these people's heads until they came to a solution. If you want our capital, if you want our embassy in Jerusalem, you're going to have to settle this dispute with the Palestinians. And so we held that back. President after president refused to put our embassy in Jerusalem and held it back as a bargaining chip to get them to come to the table over there. And our last president, out of ignorance because he don't know that history, all the wars that have been fought over Jerusalem, goodness, because he doesn't know that history. Or he don't think you do. Either way, it was a dumb move. It was an exciting, it was a arsonist. It was a, it set a fire that's been around for centuries. And they ain't got a damn thing to do with religion. Oh yeah, thousands of people died in those crusades because they thought they were fighting a holy war. They thought they were fighting a holy crusade. They thought they was fighting on behalf of the Pope of Rome and the Holy Roman Empire. Others fought because they thought they were fighting a jihad, a holy war, for the Muslim religion. It was none of that. It was a land grab, always have been. Jerusalem was a rich city. Everybody wanted a piece of it. The rest of the armies were just mercs. The rest of the armies were just mercs, mercenaries, soldiers of fortune. Take whatever you can take. Rape the women, whatever. That's how they got paid. Booty. The last thing that we discussed last week was voting, guys. And our concept, title was, Why Bother Voting? And we asked people, do you vote? If so, why? If you don't, why not? And we got some interesting conversation going. But we talked about the Electoral College. Some people didn't realize, maybe not realize, that you don't vote for the president. You vote for the president, but you don't decide who's going to be president. That decision is made by the Electoral College. You learn that lesson. You learned that lesson under the previous elections. And you learned that even if you got the majority of the votes, you know, majority rule, even if you get the majority of the votes, even if your guy get more votes, a woman at that time, Hillary, it doesn't mean a thing. The Electoral College can still decide to put Trump in office if they want to. Anyway, we had a great discussion about voting, And if that's was that the only way we have to make change? Is that all the power we have as individuals? And if that's a pillar of democracy, that pillar has damn near been chopped down through gerrymandering. And you see current laws right now in Georgia that is going to restrict people from being able, they're going to make it harder to vote. A pillar of democracy. Right. So all these new laws, and they can't point out enough fraud to warrant these laws in the history of our voting. And so it looks like a solution looking for a problem. And so, guys, we had a good conversation on the voting. We had a lot of call-ins. We had call-ins and comments about these subjects. And if you go back to our on-demand section, you'll be able to see that, what those comments are. And there were people who didn't think their vote meant anything. Local or national voting. They don't bother. And then there's those who are adamant about get out the vote. People fought for the vote. Yeah. In a democracy where corporations don't get a chance to fund campaigns, you think you can come up with enough money for me to get TV spots and posters when I'm running for office? Shit, we got businesses. We got corporations in this town right here. I am right now. Who could fund my whole campaign. Boom, just like that. I go have dinner with the head of one of these big corporations, with a couple of them. And I tell them what I'm going to do for them. And boom, I got TV commercials. I can pay for TV commercials. I can have my posters all over town. If I waited for you to give me enough money to run a campaign, I may have some posters stuck in somebody's yard. One or two, three or four. But you'll hardly hear my voice. You'll hardly see my face unless you saw one of those posters and somebody stuck in somebody's yard. In a world like that, that's not democratic. If it was a democratic society, if we lived in this republic, then maybe voting would work, but we don't. We have an electoral college that decides who our president is going to be. You don't. And we have corporations and PACs that who can decide who our local officials and state officials are going to be. And you don't. So we ask people why bother. Well, that's all we got. I'll go listen to that presentation, guys. I mentioned that there are countries where their vote, where they have something called a no confidence vote. A no confidence vote. If you don't like who you see running for any office, you can vote no confidence. And if you get enough no confidence votes, they have to stretch everybody and start over again. We don't have a no confidence vote. You got to vote for this guy or that one. But there are places where there's something called a no confidence. You can go pull the lever for no confidence. You don't see anybody in here worth voting for. Everybody you see is in some corporations or some enclave's pocket or some party's pocket. And they ain't saying they're going to do anything that you need done. You don't cut a contract with them. You don't tell, they don't come to you and say, I'm going to do this if you put me in and stick to it. But you better bet when they sit down with those corporate owners and they ask them for campaign funding, they tell them what they're going to do, and they do it. They get in. So that was our thing on voting, but you can hear the rest of that by going to our on-demand section. We still got a little time. We got a lot of time left, actually. A little time left for call-ins. We're going to move into our call-in section, guys. I'm opening up my chat room. Sorry. Got the chat room going, and my phone number is area code 319-527-6060. If you listened to these presentations when they were done this week and you didn't get a chance to participate or call in or write into the chat or anything like that, your opinion or your concerns or your questions or your comments, you got that time tonight. This part of the show, my call-in part, I call your time to shine. So it's your time to shine. We're in our call-in section. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. We've been doing a little wrap up tonight. Because we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we got a different topic every night. But if you missed those topics this week, today's Friday, today's wrap-up time. So we just recapped a little bit on some of the subjects we discussed this week. We took a revolutionary look at this week. Artificial intelligence versus working on your and your kids' intelligence. We're working on making machines smarter. And maybe you dumber. In that presentation, I said, man, they don't want machines that think like people. They want people that think like machines. I call in a section. This is the section I call Your Time to Shine. My chat room is open. My number is area code 319-527-6060. Questions, comments, hysterical outbursts, doesn't matter. Give me a call, I'll respond. Guys, y'all were listening to Revolutionary Life go over the wrap-up this week. And I told you that everything's on demand. We archive our shows. So you stroll down my page. If you're on my page here, if you're on this program page, then you will see that there's an on-demand section down here. So you can listen to all those presentations we did this week, last week, and the week before, ongoing. In that on-demand section, just by topic. Check out each topic that you might be interested in. We went over these topics, but like I said, we went over them from a revolutionary point of view, and revolution is just change. And there's a lot of shit out there that needs to be changed. And some need a revolutionary change. Check it out, guys. AI versus human intelligence. Then we went into the Spanish language, the Latino tongue. And I asked you if you're Latino. And I told you to look at these alphabets I put on my site, the Italian alphabet, the Portuguese alphabet, the Spanish alphabet, the Francais alphabet, and then the English alphabet, and tell me you're not Latino too. Tell me the same Roman Empire that brought Latin to Spain, to the Iberian Peninsula, that didn't bring Latin to England. Mary, Queen of Scots, was Catholic, Roman Catholic. You know about Hadrian's Wall. You know the Romans rolled into England. And when you conquer, baby, when you conquered, you learn to speak the conqueror's tongue. And you learn to accept the conqueror's customs. Same thing happened to Spain. When Spain turned around, you know, they used to say someone who's an abuser oftentimes were abused themselves when they were younger. Well, after Rome raped Spain to make Rome great, in England to make Rome great, in France, they were called Gaul at the time. Guys, the word France actually means free. If someone says, let me speak frankly, or let me be frank with you, that means let me speak freely. It was called Gaul. It wasn't called France. The Romans rolled in, Jack, and now they speak a Latin-based tongue. And I told you, the Spanish came over here and met some people who already had a religion. They already had a language. They came over here to people who were Inca, Aztec, Mayan, Olmec. And before they were done, they were Spanish and Catholic. That's what conquest does. Go check that presentation out. And I ask you in that presentation, are you a Latino? Look at your language, look at your English tongue. Also, I did a little commercial. I teach Spanish every Saturday, every Sunday, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I teach it on Skype, online, so anybody can participate. If you're interested, I put a link in the chat. So if you're interested in learning the Spanish language and seeing how close it is to yours and their religion, how close it is to yours, you may realize that you're Latino too, that the Holy Roman Empire got you too. And then, guys, we talked about Jerusalem and the conflict that's going on now. They just never settled the conflict. So this land is still up for grab to whoever got the biggest army. And that's all it is, a land grab. When the Rothschilds gave Israel this piece of land for the Jews to go to after World War II and the Balfour Treaty, there's a Rothschild Street in Tel Aviv, the capital of Israel. They tell me it's the most expensive avenue to live on, Rothschild Avenue. An Israeli official came on TV and said, this is a real estate dispute. And I agree wholeheartedly. It's always been about land. It's always been about taking land, taking resources. And it's always been the same method, war, conquest, and enslavement. It's how all great civilizations were built in the Western European world, in the Asian world, and in the Mongols, and in the Arab world. Hell, half of North Africa Muslim now. Because when the Mahdi's of the Arab world got to Africa, they demanded you become Muslim. You didn't have a choice. When you conquered, you don't have a choice. They speak Arabic, and they accepted the customs and religion. Or died. You know, if you don't accept the conqueror's tongue, if you don't accept the conqueror's customs and religion, you end up either being considered too ignorant to understand or rebellious, and that could be dangerous. And until they solve this situation, it's going to continue. This ain't the first clash, and it ain't the last. This ain't the first clash that's been going on since the Holy Crusades, since Saladin and Henry the Lion and Richard the Lionheart. And we open our lines up, guys. So we still got a little minute, a little time. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. And my chat room's open. Questions, comments, hysterical outbursts, don't matter. I'll respond. It's your time to shine. Thank you.
just want to come.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life tonight. I'm Gary, your host. And we're here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Monday through Friday, guys. And we also have a Facebook page by the same name, by the way. Revolutionary Life. You can trip over there to that page if you're on Facebook, and there'll be some other things over there you could look at, including some of these presentations that's right there on that page, as a matter of fact. And you can play them from there, as a matter of fact. And so the other thing is that we have a follow button. If you if you want to get a heads up on what the shows are going to be or whatever, you can come up to that follow button and click follow and maybe get a heads up on what the next topic is going to be. Also, there's a, if you look up there with the follow button up in the upper right-hand corner of my page, you will also see a share button, box with a little arrow in it pointing to the right. That share button, guys, that's for people you think you know who might be interested in these subjects. You got a site on Facebook where people are talking about these issues and they want to hear a different perspective, share it with them. Go ahead. They can make comments, man. So even on my on-demand section, even if you're looking at an older presentation, you can still, there still will be an ability for you to comment on those presentations, and I'll get that comment, and I will respond to that comment. So thank you for listening in tonight. And we'll be here Monday night. The weekend's coming up. And like I was saying earlier, guys, I teach Spanish on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. I teach the Spanish language to English speakers. I got a beginner class on Saturday. Hell, on Sunday, we're doing Spanish soap operas and news and that kind of thing. But on Saturday, we have a beginner class. And it starts with that Spanish Latino history that I did in that presentation that we talked about just now. And I want them to understand where that language came from, that it was a language of an oppressor. And I want them to see how similar Latin is to the words coming out of your mouth if you speak English. I want you to check that culture out. It's the culture of a Western European country, same as yours. Same as yours. Same. As yours. So are we all Roman Latin? Hell, you still look up at the Gregorian calendar every morning to see what day it is. That's Pope Gregory's calendar. Yeah, you still Roman, you still under the Holy Roman Empire and don't know it maybe, but you better, but I teach Spanish. I know how close English is to Latin. I know Rome ran into England. I know about Hadrian's Wall. I know Mary, Queen of Scots, was a Catholic. I know they were Romanized just like everybody else Rome conquered. And you just carrying a tradition yourself. It's all in your language and your customs. And it's in the Mexican and the Spanish and the Honduran and the Portuguese. And French, and Italian, and English. Y'all all Latinos because of Rome. You can't help it. I'm sorry. It's just the way it worked when you conquered. Thank you for listening in tonight, guys. I'm going to be here Monday night at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. And I'll see you all next week. Have a nice day, nice evening, and thank you for listening. I'm going to give you a little music as we go out, and y'all take care.